Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Hey, here at North Point, we have declared that 2023 is our year of... Come on, that is fantastic for the 13 people in the room that just responded. Now I'm going to give everybody an opportunity. 2023, this is our year of
legacy.
That's right, it's our year of legacy. And our motto for this year is live the legacy that you want to leave. Live the legacy that you want to leave. Because it's very important that everyone in this room understand this, that we are all going to leave a legacy. Before you check out and think, well, wait a minute, I made a legacy. Isn't that just for like, you know, important people, famous people? No. Everyone leaves a legacy because a legacy is simply the story that people tell about the person that you were and the difference that you made in their lives and in the world. So everyone leaves a legacy. Why? Because everyone leaves a story. There will be a story about your life. There will be a story about the person that you were. There will be a story about what you brought into the world. And that story is your legacy. And so we're here in this summer series of Ready, Set, Move. And we are looking in Hebrews chapter 11. And we are talking about some of the heroes. We refer to Hebrews chapter 11 as like the Hall of Fame of faith. There are multiple people mentioned in Hebrews 11, these heroes from the Old Testament. And we're looking at their lives and we're looking at their stories because they left a legacy of faith. And here's what we know, that you can't leave a legacy of faith if you have not lived a life of faith. See, everybody would want to leave a good legacy, but your legacy comes from your life. And here's what we know. The people in Hebrews 11, they didn't just get to the end of their life and then pull somebody to the side and say, hey, man, write something good about me when I'm gone, right? Like, tell a good story. No. It was their life. Their life told the story. So we can't leave a legacy of faith if we haven't lived a life of faith. And we can't live a life of faith if we don't walk by faith. We can't live a life of faith if we don't walk by faith. And that's why the Apostle Paul, a leader in the early church, he was writing to the church at Corinth, and this is what he says in the Amplified version of the Bible. He says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises. For we walk by faith, and not by sight, living our lives in a consistent manner." See, Paul is talking, what this lets us know is that faith is just not a belief. Faith is just not believing in God. Faith is just not believing that He exists. Faith is a belief in God that changes the way that I live. He says that we would live in a manner that is consistent, that our lives would be transformed, that the way that we live our days would be impacted by what we believe to be true about God, and that we would walk in this, that we would walk in this type of faith. Now, I said this in the first service, and I'll say it today. Listen, here at North Point Community Church, we are not a Sunday church. We are a Monday church. And what I mean by that is we don't come to church just so we can have a good service on Sunday. We come here so that we can live a better life on Monday. We come so that we can be equipped and empowered to live better on Monday and Tuesday and every weekday. We're not here on Sunday just so we can clap our hands, sing a few songs and say, wow, that was a great message. No. We are here because we want to take these truths of the word and put these truths into our lives so that our life will be transformed tomorrow, not just so we can have a good time today. Why? Because we want to walk in a manner that is consistent with what we believe to be true. And the life of faith, as we talk about this life of faith, the life of faith is a life of advancing. Why? Because faith is always tied to the future. Faith is always tied to the future. Faith is always looking and moving forward. This is why we say we walk by faith. Why? What are we walking into? We are walking into God's promises. We are walking into God's plan. We are walking into God's purpose. And the only way that we can walk into that is when we walk by faith. But notice he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Because you can't walk into what God sees for you by focusing on what you see around you. You cannot walk into the future that God sees for you when you are only focused on what you see around you. And this is why faith is always forward looking, and we have to walk by faith to move into the future that God has for us. Because if we start looking at all the things around us, we will get discouraged and we will get distracted and we will become deflated. And so he says, no, you have to walk in faith, walk in this manner that is consistent with what you have believed to be true about God's promises. So when we look in Hebrews chapter 11, we see many of these heroes that we just talked about, right? But here's the thing about all of these heroes. All of these heroes had some major mess ups. All of these, they had some major, we talk about Abraham and Sarah, they had some major mess ups. We talk about Jacob and David and Rahab and Gideon, they had some major mess ups. Today and next Sunday, we're going to be talking about Moses, and he had some major mess ups as well. But here's what we see. They all made mistakes, but they all maintained movement. They all had these fears, but they continued moving in faithfulness. They did not have all of the answers, but they all kept advancing. And you see, I believe this is why the enemy is always attempting to get you to look backward, because looking backward prevents you from moving forward. The enemy is always attempting to get you to look backward, because looking backward is the thing that keeps you from moving forward. And the thing in our past, the enemy always tries to get our attention, right, with some shame and some guilt and some condemnation and some regrets. And he puts our attention on those things. But listen, I don't think that those things are really the main thing. I think the enemy is always trying to get you looking at those things. Why? Because the main thing is that he does not want you to move forward. So the enemy is doing everything in his power. He is always doing his best to do what? To get you to stop moving forward. He'll try this through disappointment. He'll try this through discouragement. He'll try this through hopelessness and distraction. He'll try this through confusion and frustration, procrastination. He will use anything that he can to keep you from moving forward. You say, what does that sound like? What does it sound like to be stuck? What does it sound like to be more focused on what is behind me than what is in front of me? What does it sound like to be living by sight and not walking by faith? It sounds like this. What's the point? Why bother? Nothing's going to change. I can't see a way forward. This is hopeless. He's helpless. It's just not going to happen the way that I thought it was going to happen. I don't understand how. These are the things that they sound. These are the things that we say that let us know, oh, wait a minute. Maybe, just maybe, I am focused on the things around me instead of what God has put in front of me. Because there's one thing that the enemy knows. The enemy knows that he can keep you from living and leaving a legacy of faith if he can convince you to stop moving forward in faithfulness. He can keep you from living and leaving a legacy of faith if he can just stop you from moving forward in faithfulness. Talking to a New Testament scholar this week who's a close friend of mine, he reiterated and actually confirmed what Pastor Andy said a few weeks ago when he was talking to us about that the term, that Greek word that we translate faith there in Hebrews chapter 11, that it's actually the same word used as faithfulness. So when we read, you know, by faith Moses and by faith Abraham and by faith Sarah, that it could have just been easily translated by faithfulness. And it helps us to make more sense of that because we realize that these people did not just have a belief. They didn't just have this belief out there. No, no, no. They had a belief that translated into a manner of living. They were willing to persevere. They were willing to endure. They were willing to trust. And they were willing to do what? To keep on moving. To keep on moving. And that's why our series, Ready, Set, Move, right? Ready, set, move, because no matter what, we have to just keep on moving. And listen, sometimes you're not ready and sometimes you're not set, but guess what? You got to move anyway because we must keep on moving. And that's what we read when we see these heroes of the faith. We see people who made mistakes. We see people who had flaws. We see people who made some major mess ups. But there is one thing that is consistent about every single one of them. They got up and they took one step forward in the right direction. And so today, we're going to look at the story of Moses. And we're going to let the story of Moses, the life of Moses, we're going to let this accelerate our faith. And we're going to let this accelerate our faithfulness along this journey of life and this journey of faith. This is what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11. This is where Moses is mentioned in the hall of fame of faith. In verse 24, it says, "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead, he was looking forward to his great reward. It was by faith or by faithfulness that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eye on the one who is invisible." He kept on going. He did not quit. He did not give up. Through it all, he kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. We're going to dive into the story of Moses today and next week. And I want to give you just a little quick history, a little quick backstory, just to make the story make sense. Here's where we find God's people in the story of Moses. At one time, there was a famine. And God had started this family through a man by the name of Abraham. And God had chosen Abraham, and Abraham had a son, and Isaac had two sons. And now we kind of into the third generation, the family of Jacob. There are 70 people at this time. And there's a famine in the land. And Jacob and his sons and some of their wives, they move from the place that they are and they move into Egypt because there was food in Egypt. And God had made a way through the story of Joseph, of which Pastor Clarissa preached a masterpiece last Sunday. If you were not here, I encourage you to go listen to that message. And God had already sent Joseph into Egypt, and Joseph was there to take care of his brothers and God's people. It's an awesome story, but 70 people move into Egypt, and it's there that they have food, and God is providing for them. But God's hand is on his people, and they start to grow tremendously. And as they start growing, the Egypt and Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, man, he starts getting nervous because there's so many of them, and they're multiplying, and he gets nervous, and he says, "Oh my, if we don't do something, there's going to be more of them than there is of us. If we don't do something, they're going to take this kingdom from us." And at the time, Egypt was the most powerful kingdom in all of the world. So Pharaoh, the leader of the kingdom, he enslaves God's people. And they spend 40 years in slavery. And towards the end of those 400 years, they spent over 400 years in slavery. And towards the end of those 400 years, Moses is born. And the life of Moses is very interesting. The life of Moses is disappointing. The life of Moses is very complex. The life of Moses is messy. It's frustrating and it's confusing, and it sounds a whole lot like faith. And see, this is our problem sometimes, is because we think that the life of faith comes packaged nice and neat with a perfect little bow on top. And when we don't see that picture of faith in our lives, we think we must be doing something wrong. When I don't see that picture of perfect faith, when I don't see what I envision Moses' mornings being like, I mean, come on, if Moses was God's chosen instrument, right? I mean, surely the angels were there to wake him up in the morning. You know, I mean, they were serving him bagels and cappuccinos, right? I mean, it's like, that's what faith has to be like. I mean, Moses never made a mistake, right? Abraham, and what would it have been like to be Abraham, the father of faith? And we get these visions of what it must be like to live a life of faith. And then we see us. And we think, how discouraging, how depressing. Well, I must not be able to live a life like that. I guess I'm not qualified to live a life like that. I mean, they had the life of faith, but I'm not. And here's the thing that happens to us. Why? Is because when we think about Moses and we think about Abraham and we think about Sarah, whenever we think about these people, here's what we think about. We think about their highlight reel. Right? When you see Michael Jordan, I mean, Michael Jordan is always like, boom, hitting the game winner, you know? I mean, right? I mean, that's why, Mike, that's all the clips you see. He's just dominating opponents right there. Y'all didn't know about the shrug. Okay, no sports fans in here. Okay, you know, anyway, it's like, man, it's like, that's how we see Michael Jordan. Nobody's showing like the 9,000 shots he missed. Right? I mean, we see people hitting the home runs. Nobody's showing the highlights of them striking out. Right? Because it's the highlights. So whenever you think of David, you think of David and Goliath. David running, little shepherd boy, right? Running out there to the battlefield, right? Standing up to the giant, right? When you think of Moses, right? These are the things that we think about. We think about the highlights. We think about Moses meeting on Mount Sinai with God and God writing the Ten Commandments in stone. We think about the water coming out of a rock so that all the people of Israel can drink. We think about Moses standing at the Red Sea and lifting up his staff and the water parting so that his people can walk across on dry ground. We think about the highlight reels. And there's a reason why you do. Because that's what people like me talk about. Because I don't want you to come in here every week and tell you about all the depressing things in the Bible, right? I don't want you to come in here and hear about all the bad stuff in there. I don't want you to do that, right? And here, so we hear about the highlight reels, so we think about the highlight reels. But here's the reality. There's a whole lot of crap that happens in between the miracles. Right, see, I love the 11:15 because I can't say that word in 9:30. They're way too holy and way too spiritual. But you're my kind of people, okay? 11:15, you're my kind of people. And so there's just a whole lot of crap, whole lot of junk. I mean, it is messy. It is messy before, it's messy in the middle, it's messy after. The life of faith, the journey of faith is messy. And if you would see it that way, when you're trying to live the life of faith, you would feel like, oh, this is what it looks like. This is what it feels like to be Moses. This is what it feels like to be Abraham. This is what it feels like to live a life of faith. It feels confusing and frustrating and messy and up and down. And it feels like I'm on a roller coaster, Pastor. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. That means you're on the life of faith. You're going, that just doesn't make sense to me. That's not the way that I thought it would be like. But it's the way that it actually is. So sometimes the reality of the journey of faith is what we need to embrace. And that's what Hebrews 11 is talking about, because let me remind you, I'm reading to you the Hall of Fame of faith. There's a whole lot of other people in the New Testament, I mean, in the Old Testament, that did some good stuff and they didn't make it because they were more jacked up than these people. Hebrews 11, you're like, man, these people made the Hall of Fame. They struck out a lot. They missed a lot. They missed a lot of free throws. They dropped a lot of passes. They're still in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. That's right. That's right. And it'll make you feel better about your life. Makes me feel better about my life. But we're going to look at Moses today. There's some things that happened in Moses' life, and there's some things that happened in Moses' life that are common to our lives. And here's what I've discovered is that many times some of these things that happened to Moses, we can allow these things to inhibit our faith journey. Notice I say allow, because they can't actually hold you from your faith journey, but you can allow them to hold you back from your faith journey. They can't keep you from becoming who God created you to be. They can't keep you from your future that God has for you, but you can allow them to keep you from that. Let me just give you four real quick today, things that we allow to inhibit our faith journey. Number one is this: difficult upbringing. A difficult upbringing. When Moses was born into a Hebrew family, the people of God. He was born into a Hebrew family. And Pharaoh had just given a command weeks prior to this that they were supposed to kill all of the Hebrew babies that were born, because no matter how they enslaved them and how they oppressed them, God continued to bless them. So even though they're oppressed and even though they are enslaved, God continues to grow them and God continues to expand them. And so Pharaoh says, there's only one way we can stop this, and we've got to take all the baby boys that are born and we have to kill them. What the scripture says is that Moses' mom and dad, they take this baby that was born and they hide him for 3 months. And the scripture says when they cannot hide him anymore, Moses' mom has this idea. I believe it was a divine idea. That she would put this baby in a basket, and that she would put tar and all this stuff so that the basket would float. And she would take this baby right down the Nile River, right where the king's palace went down into the Nile. And she would place this baby in the weeds right along the bank of the river. And sure enough, the king's daughter, the Pharaoh's daughter, comes out to take a bath. And one of her servants happens to see the basket. She goes in the basket and she pulls out this baby, and Pharaoh's daughter says, I will take him into the palace and I will raise him as my own. And right there, we can celebrate. Wow, look at what God can do. He can make a way from no way. I mean, if you've ever seen The Prince of Egypt, right? And they put the baby in the Nile, like the crocodiles are eating. It didn't really happen that way, okay? And like the baby's like rocking through the water. Okay, it didn't quite happen that way. But this is where we can celebrate. Be like, wow, look what God can do. But don't miss the other part of the story. Is that this created some tension in the palace. And this created some tension in Moses. I mean, let's just think about it for a moment. Not everybody in the palace wanted Moses to be there. Why is this Hebrew baby being raised in this palace? This Hebrew is not one of us. How did he get here? Well, we know how he got here. Because Pharaoh's favorite daughter picked him up and say, hey, daddy, look what I found in the river. I found a little Hebrew baby. Dad, can I keep this and raise it? It's like you found a little puppy, right? I mean, I just like, can I keep this and raise it here? And Pharaoh's like, oh, of course you can, baby. You can have whatever you want. But everybody else was like, there was tension in the palace. Come on, don't you know that Moses heard at least one conversation sitting around the dinner table talking about those people out there, those slaves, realizing that they're talking about his own mom and dad, his own brothers and sisters? There was tension in the palace. They didn't all want him there. Not everybody was celebrating his presence around the table. Not everybody goes, oh, that's such a cute story. Won't God do it? No, they were mad that he was there. And there was tension in him. There was tension. There was tension in Moses. Knowing that his family was suffering in the heat while he was sipping on the finest tea in the world. Come on, that's tension. knowing that your family is being oppressed, but you're being privileged. That's tension. It's tension in Moses. Moses is going through this internal tension, and this is a difficult place to be. This is a difficult upbringing. He's got this inner turmoil, this struggle for identity, and it brings him to this question over and over again in his life. Who am I? Who am I? I long to belong, but I'm an outsider on the inside. Who am I? You don't really fit into the Egyptian clothes, but you don't quite fit into your Hebrew skin either. Who am I? You're getting the best education in the world, but you can't answer life's most basic question. Who am I? And if you can't answer the question, who am I? You can't answer the question, why am I here? So he's wondering, who am I? Am I Hebrew? Am I Egyptian? Am I with them? Or who am I and why am I here? It is a difficult upbringing. Yes, despite this delicate, difficult, and somewhat dysfunctional upbringing, Moses wasn't disqualified from the faith journey. And since Moses wasn't disqualified by his difficult upbringing, you are not disqualified by your difficult upbringing. Here's the second thing that we can allow to prevent us from this journey of faith is we can allow angry outbursts. Angry outbursts can keep us from our faith journey. This is what the story says, picking it up in Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. It says, many years later, so this is many years after Moses has been there, raised in the palace, living as an Egyptian. Many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all of directions to make sure no one was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. Now, Moses' anger led him to killing an Egyptian. Chances are, if you're sitting in this room, your anger hasn't led you to killing another human. But this is the 11:15 service, so maybe so. I'm just saying, you know. But chances are, it hasn't led you to killing another human, but can't we just take a time out and be honest for a moment? Our anger probably hasn't led us to killing another human, but maybe it has killed a dream. Maybe it has damaged a relationship. Maybe our outburst of anger, maybe it has destroyed a moment before. This is what the Bible says about our words in Proverbs 18. It says, words kill and words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. And maybe today, if you were honest, you would say, you know what? I've made some poor choices with my words. My words have done a lot of damage. My words have killed some dreams. My words have damaged some relationships. My words have destroyed some moments. My words have not produced the kind of fruit because I was not using my words in the right manner. But listen to me clearly. Moses' outburst of anger that caused physical death did not prevent him from continuing in his journey of faith. So your angry outbursts, your words, they cannot disqualify you from your faith journey either. So if Moses was able to move into a life of faith and continue to move forward into what God had for him, and he actually killed a man and buried his body in the sand, don't you know that your angry outburst, the words that you have said, is not going to prevent you from moving forward unless you let them? How about number three? Number three is resolute rejection. We can allow this resolute rejection to keep us from moving forward in the life of faith. This is what Moses had to endure. Exodus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, the next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. Why are you beating up your friend? Moses said to the one who had started the fight. The man replied, who appointed you to be our prince? Who made you our judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday? I mean, this ain't some passive aggressive rejection right here. This ain't the, oh yeah, I'll text you next week, right? This is in your face. Who do you think you are? But this is Moses' problem. He doesn't know. I don't know who I am. And now they're saying, who do you think you are? What they were saying was this: we don't want people like you helping people like us. And maybe he thought that killing the Egyptian, I personally believe this is why he went back the next day, because it's like he'd been a long time. Like the verse right before this, like he'd been a long time. He goes out there, right? So we can see this inner turmoil that's happening in him, right? He kills the Egyptian and he goes back the next day. It's been a long time since you've been out there to see your people and you kill somebody and you come back the next day. This is just my personal belief. It's not in the Bible. But I believe he was going back the next day thinking that he would almost be like celebrated as like a hero. That he would be seen as somebody who had been on the inside of Egypt but was now coming back to his roots. That they would have thought, oh, now he's on our side. And yet when he goes back the next day, he finds them looking at him and say, we don't want your help. We don't need your help. No, thank you. Rejection, in your face rejection. But their harsh words of rejection, they didn't disqualify Moses from his faith journey. The resolute rejection that he endured did not keep him from his life and journey of faith, which means that the rejection that you face in your life, it doesn't have to keep you from your life of faith either. Let's move to the last one. This is the fourth thing, and the keys can go ahead and come out and make it sound real good, and we'll have a good ending to the service. Okay, the last one is this, a knockdown moment. A knockdown moment. In verse 14, it says, then Moses was afraid, thinking, everyone knows what I did. And sure enough, Pharaoh heard what happened and he tried to kill Moses. Well, don't you know it's bad when people are trying to kill you? I mean, that's just bad. It's overall. Like, it's like, that's not where you want to be, right? But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian, where when Moses arrived in Midian, he sat down beside a well. I want you to see this. In this moment right here in the story, in this moment, Moses loses everything he's ever known. When he runs out of Egypt, he is running away from 40 years of his life. It's the only life he has ever known. And sometimes when we think about the story, we think about the story in the context of we know how the story ends. But Moses didn't know how the story was going to end. I mean, if you could have met Moses at the well and you could go back to the future, you know, or back to the future, back to the past. I don't know. That movie is confusing because they go back to the future, but they go backwards. And they go back and you could stop back in there and say, hey, Mo, listen, man, I know you're down by, I know you just ran away from the life that you've ever known. I know you just lost it all. And I know you're feeling real sorry for yourself. And I know you're broken right now. And I know you're intimidated by what could be next. Moses, I know all that, but here's what I gotta tell you, Mo. It's just a matter of time, man. It's just a matter of time, and you're gonna go back there and you're gonna stand up in front of Pharaoh. it's just a matter of time, Moses. And all those people are going to be enslaved. Moses, you're going to be the one that leads them out. And Moses, Moses, you're going to come to this moment. You're going to stand in front of this thing called the Red Sea with all these people that you just brought out of Egypt. And you know what they're going to be? No, they're not going to be happy, Moses. I know what you're thinking. No, they're not going to be happy with you, Moses. I know. That's what I would think too. But I read the story. That's not what happened. They are griping and they are complaining and they're saying, why didn't you just leave us in Egypt where the grave's not good enough for us there? That's what they're going to be saying. But don't get distracted by that. You just keep on looking forward, Moses. Keep on looking forward. And you look at that Red Sea and you lift up that staff. And Moses, I got to tell you, that water's going to part. Really? Yeah, really, Moses. I mean, that's what's going to happen. And you're going to lead God's people across on dry ground. But that ain't happened. Moses ran out of Egypt. Midian is, they say, between 7 to 10 days away on a fast pace. Moses gone. And when he gets to Midian, he sits down beside the well. And I know he sat down, but he sat down because life just knocked him down. He sits down in Midian. What is life going to be like now? This ain't the palace. And these aren't my people. What is life going to be like now? You see, sometimes we know the end of the story and it robs us of the lesson that we can learn in the midst of the story. Moses didn't know the end. This was a knockdown moment and Moses wasn't sure that there was going to be another one. But even in the knockdown moment, the experience of losing everything did not excuse Moses from his faith journey. I want you to think about this. Moses was able to walk by faith into an incredible legacy because nothing that happened in his first 40 years eliminated him from that race. Moses' life, we'll talk next week, it really breaks down into trimesters. There were 40 years in Egypt. Moses just left at 40 years old. When he ran out of Midian, he stays in Midian for 40 years. And then at the end of that, 80 years old, if you know the story, God appears to him in the burning bush, sends him back into Egypt. He leads the people out into, that's another 40 years. He lived 120 years, three 40-year segments. And everything that we really know and celebrate about Moses happened in the last 40. The burning bush, Mount Sinai, water out of a rock, Red Sea, they happened in the last 40. But hear me, Moses would have never been able to live the life and leave that legacy in his last 40 if he would have let his first 40 talk him out of it. Maybe you like Moses. Maybe you've been through a difficult upbringing. Just a difficult upbringing. Look, just difficult. It doesn't mean like you food insecure. It's maybe difficult. Maybe your parents just got divorced when you were 6. And it was just difficult. It was difficult going back from mom and dad's and different rules and different places. It was just difficult. Maybe you didn't have a dad in your house. You had a lot of love. I mean, you had a good job. You had a mom that provided. You had everything you ever needed, but you just didn't have a dad. It's just difficult. You just were longing for somebody to tell me who I am. Somebody to show me why I'm here. It was just difficult because there was nobody there to affirm you and to direct you and to tell you who you were and why you were here on this planet. It was just a difficult upbringing. Some of us have experienced that. Or maybe you've had some angry outbursts. Maybe there have been some moments in your life, man, that you would just love to get that moment back. some words that you said that you wish you wouldn't have said. Some relationships that were damaged because of your tongue. Dreams that were killed because of your words. Maybe like Moses, you know what that is. To have an angry outburst. Or maybe you've experienced some resolute rejection. People looked at you in your eyes and said, you are not good enough. Maybe it was your parents that said, we never wanted to have you in the first place. Maybe it was a coach that told you, you are worthless. You are a loser. Maybe it was a teacher that said, you would never be smart enough to make it in life. Maybe it was an ex-spouse that looked at you and said, I don't love you anymore because you're not worth loving. Resolute rejection. There's no gray area here. There's no, well, maybe they meant, no. They said what they meant and they meant what they said. And it was resolute rejection. Or maybe you've experienced some knockdown moments like Moses. Some knockdown moments. Maybe you have been through some moments where you lost it all. Maybe you've been through some really dark moments. You see, there's no way I could come back and not have an acrostic on my first Sunday back. Maybe you, like Moses, have been through some dark moments. Moses had some really dark moments along his journey, but listen to me, his dark moments did not define his journey. He had some dark moments, but his dark moments did not define his journey. You know what did define his journey? His movement. His movement defined his journey. His movement defined his legacy. Did these things happen? Absolutely. Were they painful and were they dark? Yes, 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 and yes. But his legacy was defined by his ability to just take one more step forward, to just go for it one more day, to just be faithful to the God who created him. Like Moses, don't allow your dark moments to stop you from your faith journey. And can I just give you a little secret today? We have something so much better than Moses had. I mean, Moses was waking up and just putting one step in front of the other, but we have something that Moses did not have. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Jesus said, you don't have to stay in the dark. You don't have to let the dark moments define you. You don't have to let your difficult upbringing. You don't have to let your angry outburst. You don't have to let your resolute rejection, and you do not have to allow your knockdown moments to define your life. You don't have to stay in the dark because Jesus said, because I have come. And if you follow me, you don't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus didn't say there wouldn't be dark moments. He said, you don't have to walk in it. He didn't say that there wouldn't be difficult moments. He just said, you don't have to be defined by that. He says, you can actually walk in the light that leads to what? That leads to life. That word that Jesus used there, it's the same Greek word that he uses in John chapter 10, verse 10, that word for life, it's zoe. When he says, this is the reason that I came in John 10:10, so that you might have life and that you would have it to the full. in abundance until it overflows. This Zoe life, it speaks of present and future. So Jesus isn't just saying, well, one day you'll be able to walk in the light of heaven. No, he says you can walk in the light today. It's present. And it's not just spiritual. So he's not just saying, oh, you can come to church and there's light here. Oh, you can read your Bible, there's light there. No, he says, I'm coming to give you light in every area of your life. It is spiritual and it is physical and it is relational. It is every area of your life. This is the life that Jesus came for us to have. So he says, so you don't have to stay in darkness. You don't have to live this life in darkness. Life defined by your dark moments. Instead, you can let your life be defined by the light that leads to life. And you can let that light lead you into a life where you say, my future is not going to be defined by my past. There are certainly dark moments there, and I'm not in denial. But if Moses lived into his legacy, then I'm going to live into my legacy as well. I want you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to throw the lead acrostic on the screen as you stand. Every week we want to lead ourselves well. That's where the acrostic comes from. And we say, okay, what do we learn today? What do we learn today? We learned that dark moments don't have to define your legacy. Listen to me. They can if you allow them to. That's the harsh reality. The dark moments can define your legacy, but they don't have to. The evaluation is this: are you currently allowing something behind you to prevent you from moving into what is in front of you? Have you let your difficult upbringing be your excuse? Have you let your angry outburst, have you let that be, has that become your excuse? Why you can't move into future? Have you let resolute rejection because somebody looked at you and talked to you about your future, talk you out? Have you let them talk you out of the future that God has for you? Let your knockdown moments, what's behind you, keep you from what God has in front of you? You don't have to. You don't have to. Why? Because the A is up there. That's our application. We can keep moving through it all. You don't have to stop. Why? Because you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And Jesus is the life that leads you into life. Into what life? Into the life that he promised you could have. Into the life that he purposed for you to live. Into the life that he planned for you. He can move you into that life, but you can't allow the dark things of your past, the dark moments of your past, to keep you from what he has out there in front of you. And then the D is always the same. Just do it again and do it again and do it again. And be like Abraham and Sarah and Moses and David and Gideon, and just wake up and just do the thing that you know to do. Take one more step forward into the direction of faith. And let that define your life. Not that define your life. I want you to bow your heads with me. How many of you today would say, Philip, I have allowed too many dark moments to define my life. I have allowed too many dark moments to define my life, and I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be like Moses. I want to have walked through the darkness, but I want to be walking into the light of my future. Maybe today you've made excuses for where you are today based off of those things, and those excuses have just become your prison and they're just holding you captive. And you find yourself stuck not moving forward, because to move forward is to walk by faith. You say, Philip, those dark moments are inhibiting me. They are preventing me from moving in to this life, this Zoe life, this abundant, full, overflowing life. You say, but I want to be like Moses, and I don't want to let what happened in my first 20 years, my first 30 years, my first 40 years, my first 50 years, I don't want to let those things define the years that I have in front of me. And if that's you today, and you say, Philip, I want to move forward in faith, just like Moses. I want to move forward in the light that leads to life that Jesus told me was available for me. If that's you, come on, just lift up your hand right there where you are. It's just a sign to yourself and a sign to God. It's just you acknowledging there's dark moments in my past. There's a difficult upbringing. There's been some angry outbursts. There's been some resolute rejection. There's been some knockdown moments for sure, but your hand is up right now saying, God, I want to move forward. I want to take one more step in the direction of faith and faithfulness. I want to walk in your light. Come on, all over this place right now. Will you just pray this prayer, everybody in the room? Will you just pray this prayer right after me? Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I know that I need you. I need your love and your grace. I need your power and forgiveness. I believe you are who you say you are, and you can do what you say you can do. I am ready to move forward into the future that you have for me. My life will not be defined by my dark moments. It will be defined by your light that leads to life. Father, I thank you for your word today. God, I thank you that you're opening up our eyes and our minds. God, that we could see and understand. God, that we can allow things to hold us back from the life that you created us for, but they don't have to. If it didn't hold Moses back, then why should it hold me back? If Moses left a legacy of faith, I can leave a legacy of faith. If Moses moved into a God-ordained future, I can move in to a divine, God-ordained future. And God, that's what I want today. That's what we want today. God, let us move into the future that you created us for. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said amen. Come on, can you thank God today?
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.